from Luke chapter 4. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." In Jesus' name, fellow students of the Word, during Epiphany, we see glorious truth about that poor, lowly babe in Bethlehem. We see it in the royal gifts of the wise men. We see it at his baptism and in his power over elements like water and wine. Yes, and over sickness too. But he also displayed his glory by the gracious words that came out of his mouth. They brought the only lasting peace, healing, and prosperity to the world because he got to the heart of the matter. It wasn't new. The Spirit of Christ had spoken through the prophet Isaiah 700 years earlier. And now the Christ takes up the theme again, saying, "Today, this word is fulfilled." He came to proclaim good news to the poor. And yet we still have the poor in this world, don't we? And in fact, Jesus indicated that we can expect that. The poor you have with you always. He came to proclaim release to the captives. But there are still plenty of captives in this world. He came to give sight to the blind, to send away the broken ones in freedom. But we have plenty of handicapped people all around, don't we? That's why we make the doors wider and eliminate steps. What does he mean? Today, this is fulfilled. Of course, he means just what he says. But here, Jesus is speaking of the heart of the matter. It is not economic poverty alone that causes sorrow. There have been countless people separated from their money, sick, in prison, fiery furnace, lion's den, who have lifted up their voices in songs of praise to God. It is not separation from money, but separation from God that brings the big sorrow. It is sin that separates us from God. To those who sorrow over their separation from God, Jesus comes with good news. Not follow these 7 steps or these 12 rules and be successful, but come unto me. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. He came to proclaim release to the captives, and it's the captivity of sin and death that brings people to despair. They can't change anything. They become like so many cogs in a machine, gears in a clock, ticking onward day after day until death. To them comes the good news. There is someone outside the machine who can reach in and change things here and there. You are not captive to your own desires any longer. When he gives you the desire to praise him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Sight to the blind, There are still people like Joseph Sardler, aren't there? He lost the sight of his right eye at 14 months. At 26 years, he lost the sight in his left eye through retinitis pigmentosa. At age 32, because of his blindness, he tripped over a dog dish at the top of the basement steps, tumbled down the entire length, and cracked his head against the concrete wall at the bottom. He did come to, and when he did, the furnace loomed like a monster in front of him, and he yelled, "I can see!" But as miraculous as that healing was, there is a greater blindness that afflicts humanity, the blindness that cannot see where life is heading, that cannot see how people fit together, how they can live and work together. The blindness sees nothing of the things that need correcting inside, but only the outward symptoms. Cannot see the hand of God in the affairs of the world that He created. This is the blindness that Jesus came to correct, that we might see things, people, and God as they really are. So when we feel crushed by bad things that happen to us or many other people, to bad things that are done in this life by others or by us, the true Savior comes to proclaim freedom. Not even the worst that can happen to us will remain in the resurrection, because our sins are forgiven and God is our dear Father for Jesus' sake. And all the temporary benefits that are promised by so many transient messiahs in this life are ours permanently in the resurrection. This is assured to us through the redemption in Christ Jesus. Truly, this is a glorious Savior that we have. What harm can sin and death then do? The true God now abides with you. Let hell and Satan rage and chafe. Christ is your brother, you are safe. Amen. We close with the last two stanzas of hymn 103.